You're with Stateside. I'm April Baer. Even though vaccinations are becoming more and more widely available by the day, scheduling that dose can be a daunting task. Depending on where you live, it might be easier to cross a state line than to get one in Michigan. Some people in Southeast Michigan have had luck going down to Toledo for vaccines. Stateside producer Mercedes Mejia visited a Lucas County, Ohio clinic to meet some of the Michiganders who crossed over. And just a brief note, we met these folks before Ohio and Michigan paused use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccines. Let's take a listen.
We're from Rochester Hills, Michigan, and we drove here to get the J&J vaccine. I'm with my son Connor and my son Patrick.
I'm currently a junior at Oakland University this year.
And I'm currently a freshman at the University of Michigan.
Well, we were having difficulty finding what we needed in our local area, so we easily found an appointment here, and we were able to schedule within just a few days' time to come down and get the vaccine. Our biggest difficulty today was just getting through construction to get here because the exit we wanted was closed, so we had to take a little detour.
Yeah, and so, you know, I was looking specifically for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine because I have food allergies, so I wanted to get the Johnson & Johnson because I'd heard that it was, people react less to it if they have food allergies and that sort of thing.
I'm feeling good. I suppose the reason I came here specifically is because, like, I had the option to get it in Michigan, but this was a quicker choice, and I wanted to be vaccinated as soon as possible.
My name is Tasha. I'm one of the nurses. We work for an agency called ProLink, and they contracted with the health department to staff the vaccine clinic.
Do you get a lot of people coming from Michigan?
We have tons of people coming from Michigan. They are saying that they can't find appointments. I love it. Yeah, I love it that they are coming here to our county, especially with they're saying that Lucas County has a higher rate of COVID diagnoses. So I like that they come here to get the vaccine. So we screen everybody that comes through. We basically just ask them about their health conditions, if they're breastfeeding, if they're pregnant, if they've had a COVID diagnosis or test positive, any serious health conditions, that type of thing. We just want everybody to be safe before we give any injections.
And have you guys gotten your vaccine?
I have not.
Why?
I'm still deciding which one. I think it's just a personal preference. I've had a lot of family members. I think four or five of my family members came yesterday and I gave them the injection. I think it's a personal preference. It's not anything bad with any of the vaccines. I just kind of like, I'm more of a cautious person. I do a lot of research and I just want to make the right decision for myself. We've had a really good turnout each day. We're seeing anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 people. So I'm amazed at how much of a turnout we had even today, even after that recall with the Johnson & Johnson. We still had a ton of people show up. Come on, more Michigan people.
What was the process here that you found today?
Very smooth. I mean, we literally walked right in, walked right up to a station to check in, walked right to an open table, got a shot in the arm. We've probably only been here maybe not even 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
10 minutes max.
Yeah, it was really short, really easy.
Yeah. Have you had other people that you know come here?
This particular location, no. But we have family in Ohio, and we also have friends that drove down from Michigan to get vaccine as well, just at different locations.
I'd have to say, you know, with the less than stellar year we've had, I'm optimistic that we have the vaccine. I feel like some skepticism is valid, but, like, I'm still choosing to take the vaccine.
Yeah.
Like, I still have my concerns, but it's something that's, like, still important to me and something that I think is the right thing to do.
Those were the voices of Patrick, Connor, and Amy Jordan from Rochester in Southeast Michigan, and nurse Tasha Davis from Northwest Ohio. At times like this, boundary lines between the states might have a little bit less meaning. Ohio's COVID case rates are once again climbing. And while Ohio and Michigan are both trying to tamp down the spread of COVID, vaccination is an important part of both states' game plans. Dr. Daniel Cadigan is the medical director for Toledo Lucas County's Health Department. Dr. Cadigan, welcome to Stateside.
Hello, thank you for having me here.
Tell me, how's the vaccine supply in Lucas County this week?
We have adequate vaccine supply. We have both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines that we've been using through our clinics. As with the rest of the nation, we've had to hold back the Johnson & Johnson vaccine while the FDA looks at some issues with that vaccine. But we have had sufficient supply that we do have openings in our clinics and are not completely booked at capacity with the vaccine clinics that we're holding.
Is there a short answer for why it is that so many Michigan people were able to get appointments more easily in Toledo than here in our state?
Yeah, I'm not certain the entire answer. I know initially when the vaccine first was supplied, with certainly the counties close to the Lucas County border, we did have people that registered when we put notifications out on our health department website that we had openings available. We tried to do that when we had scheduled clinics and found out that we had enough supply that there were openings available, and we did not restrict that based on residents. Our health commissioner has certainly taken the attitude that although this is an Ohio supply of vaccine based on how it's distributed from the state to the various counties, the federal government to the state, that you know we have to look at this from a regional perspective. And we have a large number of individuals from Michigan that work in Northwest Ohio, and likewise a number of individuals from Northwest Ohio that hold down jobs and have family and or live in across the border in Michigan. Although this is considered a statewide supply of vaccine, our commissioner has definitely laid out that we are not going to turn people away based upon county or state residents. The important thing is getting shots into arms and getting people vaccinated to slow the spread of COVID-19. And the best way we can do that is by vaccinating as many people as possible within the region.
Well, it certainly speaks to the long ties between folks in both states. And I know there are plenty of Michiganders that really appreciate having had the opportunity. Do you have a number for how many Michiganders crossed over to get a dose?
I don't have an exact number. I will know that in some of the clinics I participated in myself, particularly when we vaccinated the teacher population, the school population here in Ohio, at our governor's behest early on to speed up the school reopening. On our Saturday clinic on that day, we had 4,500 people scheduled through a single clinic to vaccinate related to the schools. And we realized that there were a number of doses that we would not be using. And when that went out on the health department website, I was there helping out that afternoon. And I would estimate that, 25% of those extra doses, extra appointments we had available, it was people from Michigan, certainly as far up as Ann Arbor, not just simply in Temperance or Lambertville or just across the border.
Sure. Have there been points at which the supply of vaccine at clinics has been such that out-of-staters had to be turned away? I did hear anecdotal stories of some folks meeting with that at retailers that were administering the shots.
Right. Yeah, and I believe the retail supply comes to the federal government, so it's distributed differently than the health department supply that comes from the state. We don't have control over that. We don't always get all the data from that. So I'd had difficulty giving you numbers on that. I just will say from the Lucas County Health Department's perspective, early on, and when there was very limited supply and we were trying to vaccinate the highest risk groups, then certainly if somebody had pre-registered and did not meet the criteria, those people would likely have been contacted and told that they didn't qualify. That wasn't strictly on the basis of state only. I mean, that was on the basis of age within the state of Ohio as well. Somebody might register that was under 65 when we were vaccinating 65 and older, and we had a limited supply of vaccine. But I think there was less of that than people would have anticipated.
Right. As you mentioned, the FDA has now recommended that providers stop administering the Johnson & Johnson vaccine on a temporary basis. What outcome do you think that will have on vaccination plans for the Lucas County area?
It's going to be a very limited effect on our vaccination right now. We just announced today from the health department that we will be opening up vaccine clinics to walk-ins starting later this week, and certainly next week, some of those will be open strictly on walk-in basis only. And it's because the supply we have at this point is exceeding the demand we have for scheduled appointments. We want to make it convenient for people certainly to get in and get vaccinated when the goal is just to vaccinate as many as possible. The Johnson & Johnson was not a huge part of our supply. I think retail with the store-based pharmacies, certainly it was a one-dose vaccine. It was easier to handle. It was a larger part of their supply. But we've been meeting the majority of the need through the health department, particularly being a regional site from the state. And we can meet that with the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine, because the J&J was certainly a smaller portion of what we used. And certainly the hope is that as they review it and look at the data regarding blood clots that was seen, and we can refine more, you know, who the people are that may be more at risk of side effects, we can hopefully get that vaccine back out and rolling like they've done with AstraZeneca in Europe, and still make it convenient for people.
Right. I was looking up some of the infection rates between Ohio and Michigan today, and Ohio's not in as bad a shape as Michigan right now, but it's not terribly far behind. Tell us more about the approach in Ohio regarding COVID health recommendations currently. What are there any restrictions that the county is under or the state has said?
Yeah, the county follows the lead from ODH and the state of Ohio through the governor. We have, you know, the governor's announced that we will be opening things up more. Certainly restaurant capacity increased. The plan was for sporting events to be able to open, particularly outdoors, with about 30% capacity. And I know the Toledo Mudhens fans are patiently waiting for that to start up. I don't believe with the drop in some of the restrictions in Michigan, from what I've seen, that we're a whole lot different at this point in time. There is still a masking mandate in effect, at least for another month or so. And what happens from there with some recent legislative changes in Ohio is going to be a wait and see. But I believe we're very similar right now to what Michigan has in effect.
Yeah, at this point, things are pretty much open, despite the fact that the governor has asked people to voluntarily stay home, to voluntarily, skip high school sports and to choose to have takeout instead of eating in restaurants. It remains to be seen the degree to which the public is following that. It doesn't seem like it's being terribly widely observed so far. Do you feel that there are any problems with discrepancies between Ohio's rules and Michigan's rules in terms of public health guidance?
I don't believe there's a lot of discrepancy. I know just recently, there was advice in Ohio to limit travel to Michigan because of their increasing numbers, your increasing numbers there. But, as we see today with Lucas County now being the highest daily rate in the state of Ohio, and certainly Hancock County just further down I-75 having one of the highest states, one of the highest rates in the state, we're not too far off some of the Michigan levels in Northwest Ohio at this point. And even if we look at vaccination numbers, I know the Governor Whitmer had requested more vaccine for Michigan from the federal government. Looking at those numbers, vaccination rates in a lot of the counties in Michigan are not a whole lot lower, somewhat lower, maybe 6-7% lower than in Ohio. But I think the big thing that's been driving a change certainly are variants. And I think, again, we're starting to see more of that region effect right now. The worst areas in Ohio tend to be Northwest Ohio. We're close to Michigan. But in Michigan's defense as well, we're also both, Michigan as a state is very close to Ontario, which you see in some of the highest rates in Canada. So it's trade has always come along the I-75 corridor out of Ontario and through Michigan into Ohio, then certainly variants of COVID travel the same sort of way.
I mean, do you think it's even possible to trace at this point? I mean, community spread is high in Michigan. Do you think it's even possible to say in a chicken and egg way who had the higher rate first and where it comes from? It feels up here as though things, our hotspots developed a little ahead of the curve.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, certainly the national data shows several states and several regions that have certainly had more hotspots and more outbreaks. I think we're kind of blending into more of a regional effect with that right now. And even if you look at it in terms of, you know, variant numbers, you go further north to Ontario, and the UK variant is reported to make up to about 70% of new cases. You know, in Lucas County, we're still reporting, you know, 11 or 12 cases of the UK variant. But given the numbers and the rise up to about 300 cases per day as of today, you know, I would suspect there has to be a lot more UK variant, and a lot of those numbers vary depending on how often the genomic testing of the variants or of the virus is being done to determine it. So we get a skewed perspective on that, unfortunately. You know, I think the big picture is, you know, COVID's reared its ugly head again. We're seeing another increase in cases. We're seeing an increase in hospitalizations. And obviously when things change, we look for a reason as to why that happens. We either look and say, well, nobody's following the recommendations and nobody's wearing masks and everybody are getting together in large groups, or something else that's changed. You know, it's an issue, has the fire changed or is somebody throwing more fuel on the fire? And I think at this point, the makeup of the fire itself has changed somewhat with some of these more infectious variants that are spreading.
What would you like Michigan and Ohio residents to know in this moment about COVID?
Personally, I know we're all tired. I mean, I'm a primary care physician. I have two teenage children who want to be out and doing everything they were always doing. Everybody wants this to end. We want our normal back. People are tired of masking. They're tired of not being with friends and family members to the same degree they were. And the biggest thing I've told people is that it's going to take time. We have to try to be as patient as possible. And well, in some areas we've seen, we've been able to let up on some of the restrictions we had, you know, getting together with somewhat larger groups of people, not strictly with immediate family, particularly people that are vaccinated. But I'd like people to still stick with masking, you know, trying to limit large groups particularly, so we can get things back to normal as soon as possible. I always liken it to this to a forest fire situation. And we get complacent because, you know, there may have been a number of fires and the fires are put out or brought down to simmering embers. And then you think, okay, good, everything's done, wildfire season's over. But, you know, as California residents can tell you, if it's dry and there's high winds and it's hot outside, you know, certainly it's not the time to say just because the fires went out, let's all go back in the woods and have big campfires and bonfires and keep our fingers crossed and nothing happens again. You know, it's, we still have to have an air of caution, and so that we don't get a raging bonfire of COVID going and put us back to square one.
Dr. Daniel Cadigan is medical director for the Toledo Lucas County Health Department. Dr. Cadigan, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Take care.